It's What's New from WBAA Classical. I'm John Clare. The Grammys sprouted from the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Music executives wanted to create an award similar to the Oscars and the Emmys. The National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences was born, and they thought about calling their award Eddie to honor the inventor of the phonograph, Thomas Edison. They finally settled on Grammy, using the name of the invention, the gramophone, with awards first given in 1958. We'll hear from a five-time Grammy Award winner, conductor Giancarlo Guerrero, on today's What's New. We'll talk with Giancarlo Guerrero in a bit, but first let's hear a March 2017 release with Guerrero and the Nashville Symphony. James Button is the soloist in Jennifer Higdon's Oboe Concerto on What's New. James Button was the oboe soloist playing Jennifer Higdon's 2005 Oboe Concerto on What's New. Giancarlo Guerrero conducted the Nashville Symphony. You can find out more at facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa. I spoke with Giancarlo Guerrero at his office in Nashville.
Composers sort of can win a Pulitzer Prize or Graumeier Award, or there's Nordic Prize and all sorts of things that are coming along. Yet there's also these wonderful Grammy Awards that, oddly enough, come into popular culture. Taylor Swift, who lives here in town, and wins a Grammy and looks at, you know, things. And folks notice it more, I think, because it is in pop culture. And so not only are there incredible nominations when you're, you know, one of six, you know, great orchestras from around the world that might be it, but you guys have won. And I'm curious, that's got to be a good feeling. And at the same time, it's got to be nice to sort of maybe get it out in that wider range that's not just here in Nashville or not just on that, you know, Spotify playlist, but is actually maybe mentioned in the press.
Absolutely. The Grammy Awards have brought great worldwide recognition to the orchestra, and I think gives a closer look of what's happening here and how lucky we are that we have a world-class orchestra in this community, which is my home, by the way. Nashville, for the last 10 years, has been the home for me and my family. And 20 nominations, 11 wins, 5 for myself. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm a quintuple Grammy Award winner. And we've all done it by sticking to our vision and sticking to our message, which is we champion American new music. Looking back, I say, you know, Beethoven and Brahms, I think there's enough recordings of those. And, you know, I wouldn't look for the Nashville Symphony, as well as we play them, to be the next recording of that. So what are we doing with our recordings is we're, I think, filling a void that is very big in there, that somebody has to champion these living composers while they're still around. We have to give them a voice. And I think they deserve to be put in the same par as the great ones, as, you know, Stravinsky and Brahms and Bruckner and Mahler. We have to celebrate them, because I think in many cases when people do new music, they kind of put the little 3-minute overture and that's just like, you know, we're going to get to the Rachmaninoff soon enough. No. I think orchestras in many cases shoot themselves in the foot by themselves sending a message that this is not important. No, in the Nashville Symphony, this is a vital part of who we are. And that as much as we love to play the classic, the oldies, the new music is what gives us life. And in a town like Nashville, it has received great relevance. This is American music city, where you have the greatest levels of bluegrass, rock and roll, jazz, gospel, country, and classical. We just happen to be doing it in our field. And because of it, I think that has received a great degree of relevance. And yes, this, when I travel the world and I go conducting Japan or anywhere else, that's what they want to talk about. And, you know, they say there must be something special happening in Nashville.
Maestro Giancarlo Guerrero in conversation on What's New. Stephen Paulus wrote his Concerto for String Quartet and Orchestra in 1995 for the Cleveland Quartet and Cleveland Orchestra. It's titled Three Places of Enlightenment, with movements labeled From Within, From Afar, and From All Around and Radiating Ever Outward. Giancarlo Guerrero conducts the Nashville Symphony on What's New. Three Places of Enlightenment, the Concerto for String Quartet and Orchestra by Stephen Paulus. The principal string players of the Nashville Symphony were featured with their colleagues, conducted by Giancarlo Guerrero. You can find out more at facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa, including playlists and podcasts. Michael Dougherty has been featured several times by Giancarlo Guerrero in the Nashville Symphony, winning several Grammys for both of their recordings of his music. We'll hear the opening of the Metropolis Symphony, Lex, by Michael Dougherty, on What's New. A symphony based on Superman, and that movement inspired by Clark Kent's nemesis, Lex Luthor, we heard Michael Dougherty's Lex from the Metropolis Symphony. Giancarlo Guerrero conducted the Nashville Symphony from a Grammy Award-winning Naxos release. You can find out more at facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa. When we return, the composer who inspired The Who to write Baba O'Reilly, Terry Riley, on What's New. It's What's New. I'm your host, John Clare. Coming up, we'll speak with conductor Giancarlo Guerrero about working with living composers in Nashville. But first, let's hear Chamber Dance by Joan Tower. It's a work from 2006 that she wrote for the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, filled with solos within the ensemble to interact and sort of dance together with fun rhythms. Here's the Nashville Symphony and Giancarlo Guerrero playing Chamber Dance by Joan Tower on What's New. Joan Tower's Chamber Dance on What's New. We heard the Nashville Symphony and Giancarlo Guerrero. We're featuring this Grammy Award-winning conductor, and you can find out more at facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa. I had a chance to speak with Giancarlo Guerrero in his office in Nashville.
What's interesting, I've talked to Libby Larson about the language of new music and the idea, if we think about the way the Viennese play Strauss, you know, and that certain feel, that sometimes orchestras, if they're not in the habit of playing new music. So I'm curious, it must be nice now that there is such a incredible reputation for Nashville of doing new music, new American music, that translates in the orchestra. And I imagine it's made a difference with you.
There is no other orchestra in the world that can tackle American music like the Nashville Symphony. And because of that, I think there's no other orchestra that can tackle any type of repertoire. And I think that speaks of the virtuosity of the musicians of the orchestra. But more importantly, I think because it is Nashville, which we call Music City, my players are part of the music community in this town. So when they're done playing Beethoven and Brahms in the morning, or Doherty, they have to go across town and play gigs, bluegrass and rock and roll and jazz, some recordings, or maybe even sharing the stage with other great artists. And because of that versatility, they bring it to the stage. So for them, playing all the different genres of music is something that they cherish, and is part, I guess, of the job description in Nashville. That may not be the case in other even bigger cities where the musical worlds are separated. In Nashville, it's small enough that we can't avoid each other. And I think that's a great blessing. There is no greater sense of pride for me when I stand in front of the orchestra, let's say, to run a John Adams piece for the first time, or run a Jennifer Higdon piece for the first time, and see, okay, so this is what it's all about. And to hear it played at that incredible level of virtuosity from the very first time. I even had composers a couple of times that, my God, this even sounded better than the recording that is available right now. I think speaks of the incredible level that world class that the Nashville Symphony continues to reach. But it is part of the training. The fact that we have been doing so much new music, which, as you know, requires great degrees of technical proficiency, has allowed the orchestra to grow artistically as well. So, yeah, the more we do it, the better we get at it. And I think that training that we've all had, including myself, of getting mixed very difficult rhythm patterns or difficult orchestration patterns or difficult color patterns or intonation patterns over the long term has made us a much better orchestra. So we're very proud of it. And especially because we are able to combine this with like the standard war horses of the repertoire with Beethoven, Brahms, and our audiences want more of it. So we are very lucky that our audiences have gone along with it, and it basically has given us a personality of what we want the Nashville Symphony to be.
When you go to create new music, and I know there's a brand new release of Terry Riley, who unfortunately isn't a household name. I'd love to think, you know, he's a legend, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so incredible to know he's creating new music. But how is it to choose? Because there's the Richard Danuports and the Jennifer Higdons and whatnot. How do you choose what to record and how to get it out there?
I want to record every single one of them. I'm a huge fan. To give you an example, I was with the Minnesota Orchestra for 5 years as associate conductor in the early 2000s. And I was lucky enough that during that time, it was a centennial of the orchestra. So they had all these centennial commissions. So anybody who was anybody in the composition world came to Minnesota, and I got to meet many of them. Now that I am the music director, I have to say that the first few calls I made are the people that I knew. You know, I knew Jennifer Higdon when she wrote her first piece for the Minnesota Orchestra, which was a 3-minute piece for a youth concert. Those were the days. I knew her back when, and along with her, John Corigliano and all these other people that I came across. So that's where I kind of started. I think little by little, the reputation of the orchestra started growing so much that composers were calling us and saying, when are you doing my music? Which is fantastic. And of course, many of them are composers that I have loved and admired for many years, even back to my college years, people that their music I got to know peripherally. And all of a sudden, I'm getting these offers of saying, oh, we're doing this commission with the Dallas Symphony. Do you want in? And more importantly, do you want to record it? Because let's face it, Nashville Symphony is one of the few orchestras that is, you know, making the investment to make these recordings for posterity. So this last year, I was finally able to meet John Harbison, who we recorded his Requiem, a great fan of his, finally was able to meet him in person. And just 2 weeks ago, Christopher Rouse, who was one of my great musical heroes, and we recorded and co-commissioned his Fifth Symphony. So right now I'm catching up. All of these great composers, I do want to have all of them. I hope that I have enough years in my life to be able to champion every single one of them. And you should also know that when I talk to these composers, I basically tell them, what should I do? Because in some cases, many of their music has already been recorded by other orchestras. And for me, it's like, so what is out there in your catalog that you're waiting to champion? And trust me, all of them, every single one of them has that one piece that is sitting on the shelf. And in many ways, like the prodigal song, they feel, you know, this is one of the best pieces that I've ever done. And for some reason, it hasn't really caught on. Maybe if you do a recording, that might bring it into the forefront. And I'm more than happy to be that instrument to bring it to fruition. And over the next few years, I know that, you know, we're going to be working with some people that personally, I'm looking forward to meeting them, and more proudly, I'll get to brag that I got to work with them and record their music. And call myself a champion of their music.
Much like composers having that, you know, piece on the shelf, is there a, you know, recording out there that, you know, or a work that you're just like, oh, man, I'd love to get these forces together or, you know, commission that particular piece?
I do have a long, long bucket list that I'm afraid I'm not going to have enough years in my life to be able to do it. And that is one of the most frustrating parts of being a music director, that reality, budgets, scheduling gets in the way. I have to tell you, when I start programming a season, I start with everything under the sunlight, and then of course reality sinks in. I do have to say that I've been immensely fortunate that over the years, I have been able to put a big dent on that list, and to be able to do it not only with great orchestras like Nashville or Cleveland, but also with incredible artists. The roster of the guest soloists that I worked with is just too long to be named, but I've gotten my dream of working with great composers, great pianists, violinists, singers, cellists, you name it. And that is really the best part of what I do, is the collaboration with other artists. There is one piece, though, that I do know I want to do, and that's Schoenberg's Gurelieder, which is probably the largest piece ever written for an orchestra and choir and everything. It actually, you know, kitchen sink, I think it has that too. And I think I want to do it because it's like Mahler on steroids. And that's a piece that I know that before I leave Nashville, I would like to have the chance to put it together, because that is the closest thing you can find to like Barnum and Bailey, great show, but with an orchestra.
Conductor Giancarlo Guerro on What's New. This is What's New, I'm John Clare. At the Royal Majestic is a 2013 work by Terry Riley for organ and orchestra. The title refers to the mighty Wurlitzer housed in grand movie palaces, and Riley infuses a wide variety of genres, including gospel, ragtime, baroque chorales, and boogie. Giancarlo Guerro leads the Nashville Symphony and soloist Todd Wilson on What's New. Influenced by gospel, ragtime, baroque chorales, and boogie, we heard At the Royal Majestic by Terry Riley. Organist Todd Wilson was featured with the Nashville Symphony Orchestra and conductor Giancarlo Guerro on What's New. Find out more at facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa. What's New is a production of WBAA, a listener-supported broadcast service of Purdue University. Production assistance from Erica Yon and Kevin Howard. The executive producer is Greg Castraba, and I'm your host and creator, John Clare. Thanks for listening to What's New.